back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. This allows me to bring some of my favorite guests on the program. Awesome favorite guest as well next Friday. We're kicking off the Maryland Crab Cake Tour over at Union Brewing with the local oyster. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery as well as Goodwill Window Nation and Restaurant Week coming up September 16th. I don't know if we're going to be happy or sad. Beat the Jets, lose the Jets. I know it's fun having football to talk about, and I love talking about it with this guy. And, you know, I don't know what this week is. I'm 53 now. You know, the retired old sports writers is all I have on here all week long. Bob Glauber, you're in good company, man. I had General John McClain on this week. I might be retired by the end of the week. You know, tell me about retirement, because it still looks like you're reading books behind you. You're watching football all day. You're not retired, dude. Come on, all these years.
Now,
right?
In my mind, I'm not retired. I'll still be active. But, you know, Nestor, I am grateful that this time came where I had the ability and the job to know when it was time. You know, Bill Parcells, he was the first NFL coach I ever covered. And he always said of players, if you're thinking about retirement, you're as good as retired. You know, and there is some truth to that. Had a great run. Absolutely couldn't have asked for more. You know, it's time. I'll still write. I'll still be affiliated with Newsday. Newsday forever, Newsday for life, and I'll hopefully continue to write some books. So it's all good.
All right, well, look, we're playing the Jets this week. I'll get to Lamar on the contract. And certainly Flacco, Wilson, Flacco. Okay, the Jets will make an announcement. And even what they announce, I don't know if I believe it half the time. But what are the Jets? I mean, can the Jets beat the Ravens this week with or without Flacco, with or without? I mean, in whoever plays, are the Jets any good? I mean, I love me some Joe Douglas. I know Sal is in there and all the stuff. There's some thought here. We're the Ravens. They're the Jets. It's 7 points. Forget about it. There's no way. I don't know. I just don't know what the Jets are. I don't even know what the Ravens are, Bob.
You know, Nestor, we don't know what anybody is right now. I'm serious. And I'm always fascinated. You know, Belichick is the smartest coach in the history of the game, right? He says, and I learned this about 10 years ago. He says, the first month of the season, you're just trying to figure it all out. So nobody knows anybody. And then it eventually kind of – now. You get a sense that the Jets, they do have more talent. And Joe Douglas, you know, who really cut his teeth in the Ravens organization, he's done a good job acquiring talent through the draft, through free agency, started last year. And it's a better team on paper, talent-wise. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything, especially early in the season. It does take time. And the whole Wilson-Flacco thing, you know, with Wilson getting hurt, it set him back. You know, whether, you know, when he plays and just having Joe Flacco is certainly a very good, very advantageous situation, better than most teams in the league because Flacco is obviously an experienced quarterback. He's not what he was when he won a Super Bowl. We all know that. He knows that. But at least they have that, you know, comfort zone with him. But are the Jets a better team? You know, I think they'll be a better team this year. But man, they had a really tough schedule, and starting with what I think is an improved Ravens team.
Well, Bob Glauber is here. Oh, I should say formerly of this. Is that weird to you? Formerly of Newsday? It's like
say,
Nestor formerly of Baltimore or something like
no,
that.
No, I figured
you know?
It out. I figured it out. Here's how you do it. Longtime Newsday NFL writer Bob Glauber. That kind of bridges the, well, it doesn't. You know, I have been a long time.
Author. I got to throw author.
Author, well, hopefully that'll stay for a while. But, you know, doesn't that work? Long time. Recently retired. It's fine.
Well,
whatever.
Well, here's the deal. Something. I mean, you and I have been at this, you know, well into 67 years combined at this point. I'm 37 years into this. I know you're more than that because
wow.
I knew your brother back at the News American and the Sun and the Day. The Flacco thing's fascinating because I don't know that I know anybody – better than Joe when he was here. I wrote a book, you know, that primarily featured lots of his thoughts in it as well as I saw Joe Douglas at the owners meetings in Palm Beach back in March, and we were at a cocktail party, and I'm like, hey man, how's Flacco? And he lit up. He was like,
he loves
he's
Flacco.
Thrown the, well, I know that. I wrote a whole chapter on it back when he was courting him in Delaware and all that stuff as a Richmond Spider. But I think you can fall in love with your own guy, but he was glowing about Joe's pissed off. Joe still wants to win. Joe's the most competitive guy I know. Joe still throws the prettiest ball. We get him protection. We get some running game. We get the right players around him. We can win football games with Joe Flacco. And I was like, okay, that was March. And now here we are, and I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, well, now let's go get him on Sunday, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, Joe Douglas is a very forward-thinking person. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years, and I like him. I like his football mind. You know, Joe is a very, I call it the word rooted. He is a very rooted person. His feet are firmly planted where he is, and he's not going anywhere, and he thinks everything through. And, you know, Flacco is one of the most important parts of that because you have to have the backup quarterback. You just do. And, you know, I think that in his mind, he feels comfortable with that. Joe, I love, you know, Nestor, one of the great things, and you know this, having been around a long time, one of the great things about seeing people and players develop over a long period of time. I saw Flacco after the last preseason game, which was my last game, and we had a nice chat in the locker room. He comes over, you know,
did he throw that terrible pick in that game? He threw a bad pick against the Giants in one of the games, right? Like a pick.
Well, yeah, that would have been it.
That was the game. Okay, right. Fair enough.
So, but we're just talking, you know, he's like, I'm a foot and a half shorter than Joe.
He says, hey, Bob.
He goes, hey, hanging it up. Yeah. So, and we had a nice chat. I go, Joe, you know what? One of the great things about this business is I first met you when you were training for the combine in Martinsville, New Jersey, in a gym. You know, he was a Delaware quarterback.
Yeah, that's the big kid from Delaware that can throw it, right? Literally, right?
And I did. I featured this, you know, story around Joe Flacco. And, you know, it's awesome to just see him go from that to Super Bowl champion and now to, you know, elder statesman of the Jets. And, you know, the guy loves football. You know, he's been through a neck injury, which to me is scary. To him, he's okay with it. His family, I'm sure, are concerned. He's got kids, but he loves the game and he knows how to play. And having met a lot of quarterbacks over the years and talked to them into their 30s, Nestor, the thing with quarterbacks is if their minds are perfect when they're 35 years old because they've been through everything. Now it's their bodies that they got to keep in shape. So Flacco is in that late 30s realm, but so his mind is great and he still is functional enough body wise. He's not perfect, but it's a good spot for a quarterback to be in late 30s when you still have the ability to play and can move. And Flacco can still move. He's a stationary quarterback, but he can move when he has to.
Well, Brady changed all this, right? Even though he's got a lot of stuff going on, right? He's changed this for all of these guys to say, I can still do this. I mean, I'm not betting against Matt Ryan in Indianapolis right now. I'm really not, because I think it's a different situation. Now, it may falter in the way Joe faltered in Denver. I don't know. I'm not betting on Russell Wilson in Denver, even though this gave him a phone number, right? Like, it's all sort of where right place, right time, right team around you in order to win.
Yeah, and I think over time, you know, the age of all athletes has kind of increased. You know, you push the envelope, you train better, you eat better, you're things are better, sports science is better. And it used to be, this was a hard and fast rule. I learned this from a guy named Bobby Ackles, who used to be Jimmy Johnson's right-hand man in personnel in Dallas and then in Miami. And Bob said, 38 is the line of demarcation for quarterbacks, right? Up to 38, they can do it. 38 is when they hit the wall. And you look at it, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Phil Simms, Dan Marino. There are a few more Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks who just lost it at 38. Well, Brady comes along, and now he's pushing the bounds of it. At 44, he has one of his best seasons ever, and there's no reason to believe he can't do it again. But he's still an outlier, but, you know, you got Favre, a couple of guys. It's still hard to play in your 40s, but you can do it. And I think they've kind of pushed that boundary to maybe where 38 becomes 40 or 41.
What are the Jets? I mean, we have it. Well, give me a couple of bright spots that we are going to look. If the Jets win this week, why would they win?
That's a good question. I think they would win if they can get the tight ends involved in the offense. That's one of the things that Joe Douglas wanted to do. He got, CJ Uzama from the Bengals. That was the big acquisition. They really kind of restocked that position. And I think what it does, especially for a young quarterback and even a guy like Flacco, provides you that safety net, comfort zone, mid-range target that you can kind of move the sticks, right? If the running game's not great, you got decent tight ends, and that's good. And I think the other thing is the young talent, especially, you know, it's a really good first round. He traded back up into the round to get Jermaine Johnson, the pass rusher. I don't know that he's quite ready yet. And, you know, he got Garrett Wilson, who can take the top off of a defense with his speed. And Sauce Gardner, watch Sauce. There's just something about this kid. He's got the – it's swagger, but it's quiet. You know, he's a very confident kid. There are certain athletes you just want to watch, and he's one of them. So he's really good.
I go back to hot sauce with Bart Scott, right? I mean, all the sauces we do. Bob Glauber adding some special sauce to our programming here at Baltimore Positive today. Formerly emeritus of Newsday, but still certainly still out there and a noted author and all that. All right, let's talk about Lamar. Let's talk about the Ravens and how this thing plays out on the Ravens side. Financially with Lamar, where do you stand? I mean, it's pretty clear to me that they're reluctant to give him Deshaun Watson money. Wherever they are, it's a unique circumstance to the kid. I hope he has insurance. That would be my question at the press conference this week. Got Lloyd's of London, because this is a little weird spot for both of them. But that being said, Joe Flacco did this, right? We were talking about Flacco. Flacco went out and played and won a Super Bowl, and this kid has every bit the Elvis thing going on and the confidence level to do that. And the Ravens are trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. They still just have so many Ronnie Stanleys and players and Gus Edwards, and they had so many injuries that I don't know what they are. So this is a box of chocolates to me on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to the game, Bob.
Yeah. All right, Forrest. I think Lamar Jackson will be a Raven long term, whether it gets done before this game, whether it gets done, you know, during this. I would say not during the season. He's really made that clear, but after the season. Sorry, my light goes off.
Sorry, you look great. You look good at any light. You look more like Tom Crean this way. No, I'm sorry.
being in a darkened room is probably better for me, but I got this cheapo spotlight that keeps going on. Anyway, so I think he'll be a Raven long term. I don't think that the Deshaun Watson contract would scare anybody, and it's because it's all guaranteed, you know, especially in this sport. But I think the Ravens got a little bit of breathing room with the Russell Wilson contract extension, because it was not all guaranteed. It was more in line with what these current deals are getting in terms of the guaranteed money, not fully. I think Deshaun Watson was a unique situation because of the circumstances. There were four teams in intense competition for him, and the Browns were basically out of it until they basically were willing to guarantee that whole contract. So a bit of an outlier of a situation. And, you know, bottom line, Lamar's going to get a pile of money one way or the other. Doesn't have an agent, so he doesn't have to pay that off. And in this case, I recommend for all players to have agents. It's just better. They're protected better. But, you know, he wanted to do it this way. And I think he'll come out, you know, richer in the end because he doesn't have to pay 2 or 3 or 4%.
Bob Glauber is our guest. I'm trying to figure out the top and the bottom of the of this division and where the Ravens sit in all this. Certainly the Bengals. I was there when they almost won the Super Bowl. It was the damnedest thing to see them 4 minutes into it, you know, left to go. And you're like, hey, they're really going to win the Super Bowl here. Now they come back and try to do it again. I was in Latrobe a couple weeks ago on the Crab Cake Tour with Mike Tomlin. Saw the Steelers early on and their quarterback issues and all of that. And then we have the Ravens here. I mean, are the Browns ever not going to regret signing Deshaun Watson? I mean, it's funny, all this money, I'm thinking, is there ever going to be juice and squeeze in this? Is there ever really going to be a championship? And is he ever going to have anything normal? Because they've set the tone for what Lamar's contract is, what all quarterback contracts are, and the kid's not even on the field, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why it's such a unique thing. And then the guarantee this year is only over $1 million. It's that, you know, they structured this knowing, both sides knowing, that there was going to be some penalty this year, maybe the entire season. So I think that the squeeze will come in years 2 through 6. Now, it's a lot to ask a team to win a Super Bowl, but that's in their minds. They kind of sold their soul to the devil a little bit in hopes of doing that. But I don't think anybody expected this year to be the time when they were able to do it. Now, I spoke to somebody in Cleveland about, you know, the playoffs this year. I said, I did a general playoffs. Wah! He said, wah! So, well, you know, if Brissett goes 6-5, Like, come on, cut it out. And then Lamar and Deshaun's going to be completely cold and rusty when he comes back. And I don't know. That it just this year to me is a wipeout. I think Browns fans understand that. I would be shocked if they're in play in this division. But listen, it's football. It's why they play the games. And you know, we've seen surprises before. The Bengals, they really intrigue me. And not in such a great way. I think everything went their way last year. They got on a roll. Burrow found his magic early enough, and that team kind of snowballed. That was the, you know, hey, here's the worst to first surprise of the 2021 season. It's going to be harsh here. And I'm not going to be surprised if they either don't make the playoffs or just have to sneak in as a wild card. Super Bowl losers in this era really struggle to just get back to the playoffs. I think that's going to come into play a little bit here. It just went so perfectly.
They felt Pittsburgh, like an emerging team last year, though. They really did. Like, and I'm saying that as an Orioles fan here in Baltimore right now. You know, when you feel that young emergence and you see that, the next step isn't thinking, well, they're going to win the Super Bowl. But you don't think they're only going to win 6 or 7 games this year. I mean, I see the Bengals as formidable. You know, they proved they were for real for me when they started winning in January, right? Like, and maybe that's just a couple of games, but certainly they bought credibility that, no offense to Marvin, it's a different kind of credibility right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they won playoff games. I mean, Marvin got them to the playoffs, didn't win playoff games, and this team got there and won. And, you know, Zach Taylor, basically, he didn't save his job because Mike Brown doesn't like to fire coaches, but, you know, he assured that he will be the coach in Cincinnati for a long, long time. Basically as long as he wants now. It's a very stable place for coaches because Mike Brown does not like to hire a lot of coaches and thus pay them. But again, you know, it's recency bias. Our last vision of the Bengals is almost winning the Super Bowl, you know, coming down and tying it. And then Aaron Donald makes the play that basically, you know, quashes their hopes. So that's why it's just so hard because you do start over. 1 year has nothing to do with the last in most cases, and I just see that. Listen, I think they're a good team. They're a good roster. Duke Tobin is a really good general manager who nobody talks about. He's done a phenomenal job, and they got Lael Collins to solidify the right tackle position. That was a big move. But, you know, again, it just takes an awful lot, and we'll see. The Bengals need to show me, especially in the first half of the season, that they can kind of build off of what they did last year.
You go pick the Steelers last place in Baltimore so I can come back here in January when we're nut cut timing and they're 8-8. No,
I'm not going to pick the Steelers in last place.
Okay.
I will pick the Steelers in third. I'll pick the Browns in fourth. I'm going to take the Ravens to win the division and then the Bengals to finish second. Whether that is a playoff spot remains to be seen.
Look at you playing the local yokel role here, picking the Ravens, huh? Right. You got confidence. Yeah. That says a lot that you have confidence in them. I think a lot of people do, right? And I think they have number 8, and then they usually figure the rest out. That's kind of the formula here. Because I can't sit here and say secondary is going to be great. Linebacking core is not going to be great. Don't know what the defensive line is. Offensive line may be the biggest question they have on the whole team. If it's not the wide receiving core, if it's not the running game in general, as it attaches to the offense. I think Mark Andrews will be great. Lamar Jackson would be great. And for that, I guess we give him 10 wins?
10, 11. 12 on the outside. Sure. Because don't forget, they got my brother-in-law as the coach.
So I do know that, Tom. I appreciate that.
Right.
Last thing for you, this retirement thing. What are you doing, dude? Like, give me the Bob Glauber update as to, like, what's a Sunday look like for you if you're not on some plane transferring in Atlanta on the way to New Orleans or something?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll let you know. Haven't done it yet. Listen, again, I took a big, long bite. I covered almost 1,000 games of preseason, regular season, playoffs. It's been awesome. But, I do like to think and write and, you know, produce stuff. And I will continue to do that. And I will continue to do that for Newsday at some level. The books thing, I haven't figured one out yet. And then purposely, here's what I want to do, Nestor. If you watch Seinfeld, are you familiar with that show?
I'm very familiar with Seinfeld, yes.
Okay. You know Putty?
Dolores? No, not Dolores.
No, not Dolores. Not Putty. You know Putty, Elaine's boyfriend? Putty. Elaine had a boyfriend named Putty. Mike David Putty, David Putty. And David Putty, they flew back from Europe one time and they had a fight on the plane. They made up and everything was fine. Elaine starts reading the book and Putty is just staring at the seat in front of him. And Elaine is like kind of freaked out. She goes, do you want to read something? And Putty goes, no. Do you want to have something to eat? No. And Elaine gets flustered. Are you just going to sit there and look at the seat in front of you?
Yeah.
That's what I would. It's what I need to. 45 years. I need to just.
All right. So listen, I got to get your wisdom. Space. Okay. In my new career here, my new assignment in life, I'm launching something, and you'll appreciate this because all I ever wanted to do was be Oscar Madison when I met your brother back at the News American, the Sun, John Steadman, all those guys back in the day, 1984, 85. I've known your brother. I've known you almost as long. Right. So I never worked at the newspaper when newspapers were there. You were blessed. I had McLean on earlier this week. I always talked to John Eisenberg about this, because he was one of my mentors. I'm launching a new thing. Here's the hashtag. You ready? It's C-O-L-U-M-N-N-E-S. Columnness.
Get it?
Columnness. So I need some advice from you on what makes a great columnist.
That's fair. I mean, it's a long answer. We don't have that much time for that.
Well, we'll
but
do
I
that
would
in our
say,
next session.
Go for what you believe. Don't be a phony, and go for like a subject. Here's an example. Jerry Jones this week said, well, you know, the Cowboys, people talk about us more than any other team. And to me, that means we're doing our jobs, right? Just that one sentence screamed out, all right, I got to write that column. And that column would be, no, that's not your job. Your job is to win championships, and you have not since you and Jimmy parted ways. Period. That's the fraud of the Cowboys. It's not fraud, but the Cowboys are a show. They're always talked about. They haven't won. So that kind of thing, you know, use your passion, and you have it. Obviously, you'll find it. It's easy. But here's the other thing that I like. I like talking to people, and I have incorporated that over time in columns. All of it. And I started out, you know, 30 years ago, Carl Banks, the Giants linebacker, gave me great advice. He saw me interviewing him as a player in front of his locker. And he noticed in my first year as a columnist at Newsday, he noticed I was hanging back. I was just in the back of the pack. I'm normally right up front with my notebook, right in there asking questions. I said nothing. I'm lingering. And Carl goes, hey, Glauber, what are you doing back there? Huh? And I go, huh? Yeah, you, Glauber. He goes, Glauber. So after his session was over, he says, come here. What are you doing? I go, Carl, I'm a columnist now. I have to separate myself from you and the players because I'm going to have to criticize you or, you know, write things that are not comfortable. He goes, let me tell you something. Don't do that. Don't back off. The reason I like you and trust you is because I know you and you let me talk to you. So if you're going to rip me, I want to know that you're accurate in what you're ripping me for. And the only way that I can know that is if you're dealing with me and learning. And like, it was words that I will never forget. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It was awesome.
Is that era over? Does Lamar Jackson understand that? Does Joe Burrow want? I mean, literally, I think that era is over. Certainly, COVID shut locker rooms for 3 years.
Yeah,
no way
that's
now,
not
you know?
Over. No, it'll never be over. No, it's not over because locker rooms are open now. It's not over. You have to work harder at it. It's much tougher for younger journalists now, absolutely, to get those relationships. But and you'll never happen. It'll never happen again. And I'm the old man yelling at a cloud like, when I was younger, we had the Giants in the locker room for hours. We did have them for hours a day. We called them on the phone. I called Phil Simms on the phone. We spoke for an hour a couple of times a season, just shooting the breeze. A starting quarterback in the National Football League talking to a slappy beat reporter.
I had guys that drove across the city and did my show for 15, 20 years. Right. I mean, we lost Saragusa recently, you know, what a magnanimous person he was. It was community facing. It was just, it was a different era.
It's different, especially here.
When the team came in there trying to sell PSLs, right?
Literally. I know. But even with the Players Tribune, we thought that was going to steal players away. They were going to just let their stories be told there. We can still tell the stories. We will tell the stories and we'll tell good stories. It's just harder to get that line of communication and develop that trust. And we as journalists are required to do our part to foster those, to foster that trust. And if we don't do it, well, then, you know, it's on us. But the players want to trust us.
Yeah, in 1996, the day I met Art Modell, we're sitting up at the top of the Signet Towers, and he's the guy in the houndstooth coat and kicking the dogs, and we're wearing the Barney uniforms and Vinny Testaverde, like all that, trying to sell things. He said, young man, never be afraid to criticize me. If all you ever do is praise me, they'll never believe a word you say.
He gets it. He got it. He got it.
And I took that to heart, and I'll never forget that. And I can recite that word for word because it's true.
They know. Huh. They know. They know.
Love you, Bob Glauber. Congratulations, man.
Thank you,
Go sit on your rocking chair and, you know, drink some red wine and relax. And are you going to be the guy that, like, is in the man cave with 13 remotes and chair? Like, are you going to watch football? You're going to watch football.
No, I'll watch football. Here's what I don't think will be. Like, you had McClain on, right?
Yeah.
McClain retires, Chronicle, throws out the first pitch at the Astros game, and hey, John's retired. That guy's working harder than ever now. He's doing more stuff. I'm tired, man. I'm gonna relax a little bit and then reconstitute the way I want to do it. And then it'll probably be, you know, books and select articles.
So here's what I'm gonna do. When you're ready, we'll turn the little light on your LinkedIn, and it'll say, Bob Glauber, looking for new opportunities, but not yet. Not this season. Yeah. Love you, man. Appreciate you. Give your brother
all right,
my best.
Nestor,
all
thanks, right? Man. Always
Bob
do
Glauber,
well.
One of the good ones. Well, you know, I've written this week at length about media and this and that, and I said it's shrinking too much. And certainly in the case of people like Bob and John and different people, we need more media, need more people talking intelligently about the National Football League. We have Wise Conversations around here, all brought to you by Wise Markets. We're getting together with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour again next Friday. Got a lot of things going on, loose covering the games. The Orioles are relevant, winning again. Hang in there. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.